to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about bull wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs in, are they in harmony? Do, do. Help a snowman, do.
All right, everybody. Welcome to a show. We have just outside my window, there is a dipshit who rides around on a dirt bike in the little like condominium. Why did I think it was condo complex that I live in? And like, it's the loudest little dirt bike. He rides around in it, and he like rides around with his kid. And his kid is like on a tiny dirt bike. And this would be like cute and wholesome, except it's so fucking loud and annoying that it's not at all that. It's a nightmare. It's, you know, it's like a living nightmare of just loudness or whatever. But you also feel like if you said something to somebody, you know, they'd be like, oh, he's just out there with his kids or whatever. You know how we have these imaginary conversations in our heads where it's like everybody's just everyone's a dick except for you? Or like, I don't know, it's sort of like you're the only rational person in the conversation in your brain, but also everyone else, but everyone's treating you as irrational. It's like you're gaslighting yourself in an imaginary scenario. Well, we're back. Sorry, we had a layoff. I'm trying to do better this year. But today's book that we're going to discuss isn't a book at all. It's kind of a book. I don't know. It's a comic book. People get real uptight about this. You know what I mean? They get uptight about like, does an audiobook count as reading? And like, is a comic book a book and all that stuff? And I just, for me, I'm like, those are such silly arguments, because I'm like, count for what? Who cares? You know what I mean? When someone's like, I read the book. If they come to the book club and they're like, I read the book, and really they listened to the book, I don't care. You know what I mean? As someone who's hosted many book clubs for, you know, career reasons, that makes it sound like I did it to advance my career. My job was as a librarian, so it makes sense that I would host book clubs in my normal job duties, right? As someone who has hosted book clubs as part of normal job duties, I really just wanted people to show up to the book club having read the book. You know what I mean? You know who the worst person is in any book club? It's the person who comes to the book club and they haven't read the whole book, but they've read most of the book. And they don't want you to spoil anything that comes after what they've read. Like, they don't want to hear what the ending is. And I'm like, okay. It's fine if you didn't touch the book and you come to the book club, whatever. You know what I mean? That's my probably second least favorite person. But, you know, some people just come for social stuff. And some people, you know, won't read a book here or there because they're like, yeah, it's not my thing. Totally fine. But, and you know, then there's the person who read the whole book and wants to talk about the book. Totally fine. But it's the person who's read, or, you know, if someone read half of it and they're like, you know what, I'm not going to finish it. Or if they show up and they're like, you know what, my fault. I came to book club. I should expect that people are going to want to talk about the book in its entirety, right? It's like if I'm watching like a YouTube thing or listening to a podcast and they're talking about a movie I haven't seen, usually I'll skip the episode, right? Or I'll watch something else or whatever, because I'm like, well, if I want to watch the movie, why would I watch someone else talk about it before? You know what I mean? And it's not even like a normal... Sometimes you're like listening to a podcast and they just talk about a movie and you're like, oh, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't have given me a quick warning or just indicated that that's where we were about to go. That would have been nice. but they never do, right? And then you're like, well, there goes that. But Poon Master Flex and I did manage to watch. We finally finished Stranger Things. And boy, this has strayed really far from the book, you know, that I was teasing. We finally finished Stranger Things. We managed to avoid spoilers, like, for the whole thing. I mean, I think I'd heard one or two tiny things, but for overall, I didn't know what the ending was. Also, I don't know what the hell everyone else is talking about or what you all saw. It was fine. The ending was fine. What did you want? You know what I mean? Yeah, it was very different from season one to season whatever, five or six. But that's not like a new thing. You knew that like at season four, right? At some point it was like, well, you know, when Eleven's bringing down a helicopter. I think we've gone beyond kids having a backyard adventure on bicycles in rural Indiana, right? Or anyway, so comics, you know, I don't know why it's even a debate, like, do comics count as reading or whatever? Because whenever someone says something like that, I say the same thing or think the same thing, which is, what does count mean? How does something count or not count? You know what I mean? For what? What does it count for? Who has stakes in that debate? You know what I mean? Like, who cares? But what are you, like, you're Mr. Goodreads and you're like, well, if you listened to it, you need to shelve it as listened, not read. Doesn't count. Fuck off. I'm in my 40s. I know how to read. I'm capable of reading. I read fairly often. And sometimes I listen to something. And I read a lot of comics. And I count them too. Because it's reading. Fuck off. It's words. And if you couldn't read, you couldn't really read a comic, right? Okay. The book we're talking about to kind of launch into today's podcast, although some may say we've already launched or failed to launch as we do here. I hate that I'm saying we all the time now. You know what I mean? Like, when did that happen? Who decided that? We're talking about Mad About DC. So this is basically a Mad Magazine issue devoted entirely to DC Comics. It's like all new content, so on and so forth. Now, Mad Magazine, we'll talk about quite a bit more as we go. But I wanted to start by focusing on Mad About DC. It's got a ton of stuff in it. But it was mostly edited by personal hero Chip Zdarsky, one of my favorite comic book writers. He does hilarious things. He put out his own print newsletter, Zdarsky Comic News, for like a year and a half. And it was like a print comic book, not very long, and you could get it and then, you know, read it. And he had interviews and stuff like that, but it was mostly a joke. He also like wrote, there's a magazine out, a news magazine, kind of like Zdarsky Comic News, that just came out the last few months. And he wrote all of the letters for the first letters column, because obviously they don't have any fucking letters yet. He does a lot of very funny stuff. He writes some really good stuff. And I enjoy him a lot. He also did a run on Howard the Duck that I thought was great. So anyway, when I heard like Chip Zdarsky is going to be the guest editor for Mad About DC, and you know, he's going to draw the cover for it and all that stuff, I was like, I'm going to go to the comic store and get it. And I did. So let me see if I can find who the authors are. Well, it doesn't really say. So you just kind of have to go through it. But like, ton of different people, some you've probably heard of, and it's like a mix. There's comic book people, there's like comedy people, and there's a whole shitload of Chip Zdarsky in here. Great. Some of my favorites, you know, are of course Kyle Starks, who, or Stark. Let me see if I can find his name. I recognize this page as definitely being him. It's fucking 2026. You know what drives me crazy? Is people are like, go to patreon.com/helpfulsnowman, wink. Instead of, it's like, look, if you just Google helpful snowman Patreon, you'll probably find it. I mean, in that specific case, you might not, because I am not famous enough to warrant legitimate placement on a website. But if you're like a actual Patreon haver with like actual subscriber, Kyle Starks, here it is. But anyway, it's like, you could just Google Kyle Stark or Kyle Starks comics, right? And find it. Like, it'll suggest it to you. You'll be fine. It's not 1997 and you're like, well, if I don't know this guy's name, how the fuck am I ever going to find this? You know what I mean? Chip Zdarsky does a bunch of different kinds of kryptonite. You know, he makes up a bunch of different kinds of kryptonite. Like, pink gives Superman one singular craving, human flesh. Bronze really gets him into punk rock for some good old-fashioned corporate synergy. And then tan, brown, and dark brown go through the spectrum of mild diarrhea to extreme diarrhea to curing existing diarrheas. Orange just looks nice on a bookshelf. There's Graham Romeo, French guy who did a great book about Bigfoot called like Me Am Bigfoot, It Am Bigfoot Memoir or something like that. Hilarious. Anyway. I'm not going to just go through everything in here, but I did want to go through two very specific things. There are two phone numbers in here. Now, one is kind of a takeoff on, for people who don't know, in the, I think it was the late 80s, maybe early 90s, the second Robin came on the scene in Batman comics, Jason Todd. So you have Dick Grayson was the OG Robin, and Jason Todd was the next one. And he kind of came on the scene and was like a little dickhead. I think if I remember this right, he was trying to steal the wheels off of the Batmobile. And so that's how he ended up becoming Robin, basically. Like, I like your moxie, kid. I mean, it is a very crazy idea, right? Like, I have to imagine the Batmobile, the wheels are not just attached with regular lug nuts. Possibly they are, and that's why the Batmobile lost its wheel and the Joker got away. Hey, maybe that's what that song was about. Maybe this is, someone at DC heard that song and was like, Eureka, I've got it. I know how we get the next Robin. So Jason Todd comes on the scene and he's no Dick Grayson, and he's kind of a little dickhead sometimes. You know, he's not respectful to Batman, which, you know, I get it. If I was writing Batman too, I'd be like, well, I don't know. It's a different dynamic, right? He'll have to work a little harder with this kid. Like, he's not as simple. So anyway, after Jason Todd was in the comics for a while, they did a series called Death in the Family. And what happened was they printed a thing in the comic, and it was like you could call one of two numbers and either say like Jason Todd should live or Jason Todd should die. And I believe these were 900 numbers at the time, so it cost to call them. Although thinking about, that's like looking at it with 2026 eyes, right? Because thinking about it, at the time, it's like, well, I don't know how you could just set up a phone number. So, like, maybe it's fine. So they set up these phone numbers. People called in. Overwhelmingly, the bloodlust was running high, I guess. And people were like, kill him, kill him. Kill him, kill him is kind of an inside joke at my house. Don't worry, I'm safe. One time I was downstairs, and there was a very large spider, and Poonmaster Flex saw it and then like ran up the stairs, and she was fumbling with the light switch to turn it on and ended up kind of flashing it on and off while she was saying, kill him, kill him. And it kind of seemed like she was like I was the Hulk or something. And she was trying to egg me on to like rage out and kill this spider. Like, it just seemed like she was like, I'll provide the strobing that, you know, will unlock the what do you call that guy? He's not the English patient. He's the sleeper agent guy. Maybe Denzel Washington played him in a remake. You know, the Manchurian Candidate. Not even close. You know that movie, The English Patient, where there's like an assassin, a sleeper assassin? So anyway, overwhelmingly, everyone was like, kill him, kill him. Flashing the lights on and off, calling the number, and they killed him. And Jason Todd was a person in the comics who, like, so comics are famous, right, for no one really dies in a comic. Like, they die and they come back almost immediately. Or, you know, a little ways down the line. When your favorite character dies, it's kind of like, that's what separates comics veterans from non-veterans, because you're like, eh, he'll be back. Which, you know, now is even happening in the movies, right? Like, Robert Downey Jr.'s back, baby. So Jason Todd was one of the few that was dead and stayed dead for a long time. It was Jason Todd, Spider-Man's Uncle Ben, and Bucky. And then Jason Todd and Bucky both came back in a very similar sort of setup where it was like, oh, who's this new enemy on the scene? And it's like, oh, it turns out to be your boy sidekick or whatever. And then sort of became heroes again. So anyway, in this Mad About DC, there is an ad and it says, it's got a picture of Jason Todd looking angry. And he's an adult. And it says, this Robin died because over 5,000 of you called the wrong number. Now you can call again to apologize. You can call 1-800-555-2660 to say, I am really sorry I voted for Robin to die. Or you can call 1-800-555-2666 to say, I am really, really sorry. Please don't hurt me. So, oh yeah, here's the story. Hi, I'm Red Hood, formerly Robin. In 1988, 5,343 of you called a premium rate phone number to vote to let the Joker murder me. Bad news, buddy, it didn't stick. This is one 80s revival you can't ignore. I have a lot of unresolved anger issues and the time to pay 5,343 house calls. Apologize now and maybe I won't need to. You will be charged 50 cents for each call. If you don't call, you're really going to pay. So we're going to just go ahead and call because I was like, are these real phone numbers or like what's going on here? So let's just start with the first one. 1-800-555-2660. Is a 800 number that starts with 555 real? Or is you know, is 555 is not real, but if it's 800? Just push the button, Peter, and call and we'll see. Oh boy, that's loud.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, wait, who are you trying to reach?
Not a recording?
Sorry, wrong number. Bye.
Well, that was disappointing. All right, let's try the other one. 1-800-555-2666.
Welcome to America's Hottest Talk Line.
Oh, boy.
Guys, hot ladies are waiting to talk to you. Press 1 now. Ladies, to talk to interesting and exciting guys free, press 2 to connect free now.
Oh.
Guys, press 1 now.
Oh, guys, ladies. Press 1. Okay, I pushed 1.
America's Hottest Talk Line is for callers 18 and over. If you're under 18, you must hang up now. Product of XIP.
We'd like to thank our callers for helping to keep our community safe by reporting underage, dangerous, and offensive behaviors.
Is this really happening?
We continue to be the safest place for fun adult conversations. Remember that keeping your conversations on the system keeps you safe and anonymous. If you do choose to give out your private number and then get a call accusing you of chatting with an underage person, you are being scammed for money as we remove all underage people from the system. Thank you. Have fun.
If you have a membership, please enter it now. Otherwise, press the pound key. We hope you have a great time on America's Hottest Talk Line. Grab a pen. We're going to give you our direct access number so you can call us back the next time you're in the mood. Ready? Call 1.
Okay, that's really weird. Now, here's the other number. Okay, that was just a sex line. Do you think they knew that was a sex line, or they just were like, I don't know, just fucking put a number in and it happened to be a sex line? I'm very curious. All right, here's the other one. Now, I'll preface this. There's an ad basically in here for Power Girl collectible figurines, mostly joking about the fact that she has a boob window. So we'll get to that in a second. But first, the number you call is 1-800-555-GOON. Or, which is, I think, actually the number I already called. 4666 is GOON. I have to say something very unfortunate in my life. Oh, it's 2666. Okay. Well, let's see what happens. Something.
Oh. We are spread, wet, and ready for you
right now.
Oh,
boy.
Come on, baby. Let's play. If you are an experienced caller, you can enter your credit card number at any time during this message.
One more time. You can give it to me anytime you want. That's right. Just enter your credit card number at any time during this message. This call will be billed at $1.99 to $3.99 per minute, depending on menu selection, and will discreetly appear on your credit card statement. A toll-free customer service number will be provided later in the...
Okay, wow. So that's also... Do you think... Are just all the 800 numbers sex numbers? Like, is that... Is there no... You know, if I was like, call 1-800-555-SNOW. I'm asking you, and I'm like, you know what? I'll just fucking, let's see. 1-800-555-SNOW-7669. I mean, it's got a 69 in it.
Hello, and thank you for calling. Just for calling today, you're entitled to a retail rebate of $100. Press 1 now for more information, or you can hang up. Thank you.
I like how it's like, or you could hang up. And I'm like, yeah, I can always hang up. That's really my choice, isn't it? Like, I don't need your permission, seemingly Australian person, to tell me to hang up. Also, I'm entitled to a rebate for what? I don't even know. Well, at least it didn't seem like a sex line. It may have been some sort of remediation for complaints for a sex line, but it wasn't itself a sex line. I don't think. I don't know. So I guess maybe I shouldn't rule it out. On the other hand, the other two seemed to be, or the other one, whatever, seemed, the other two seemed quite clearly to be sex lines. So, you know, there we go. Yeah, I guess, why would you just put a number in here? Okay, the unfortunate thing in my life is the word goon. Goonmaster Flex and I started calling each other goons and say we were gooning when we were looking at each other with like a dopey, goony love look on our faces. You know what I mean? Like if you're just kind of like, you're like, oh, that's my cute wife. And it's like, stop gooning. You know what I mean? And then it has seemed to have come into popular use in a much more jacking off related kind of way. It's unfortunate for us because that was like our cute thing. And now it's like, everyone's going to think like, oh yeah, we're like, whatever the hell gooning is. Anyway, the Power Girl ad is about basically that she has a boob window and it's like some alternate collectible figures. There's one that has an optional modesty, like a shower curtain that goes across the boob window. One with the boobs just out. One with a more exposed costume, a dream waifu version, and a version in a jar. This is one for me that like the joke of, isn't it funny that Power Girl has a boob window? I'm just like over it. I mean, I sort of get why people make the joke still, because it's like, it is sort of crazy that it's still happening, right? It's sort of crazy. I mean, it's a wildly impractical costume. Or, you know, like Wonder Woman. It's like, I think there's a joke in here. Yeah, it's about how she just wishes she could have pants. And it's like, instead of wearing a skirt or whatever. But like, a few things. I have a few things to say about this. I mean, For one thing, Superman is wearing like red briefs outside of his, you know, suit. And it's like, well, that's certainly not drawing attention away from his schlong or his crotch, right? Like it's not, it certainly is not pulling attention in a different direction. But the other thing is, one time, one of my earliest Photoshop endeavors, because, you know, this is how I live my life, I had read some comic thing and someone was basically complaining about, like, yeah, women's costumes in comics. And, like, I get it. I'm not arguing against that, right? I'm not arguing that, like, they're fine. The costumes are fine. What I'm arguing against is, like, I just think it's kind of not as funny to make the joke anymore. It's like joking about the food on an airplane. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I mean, it is true. And it is fucking crazy how bad it is. And just like how it would be a challenge to design a meal that is worse, but doesn't seem like you are trying to make it bad. Do you know what I mean? Like the whole airport experience is one that in my mind I've come to see as like, it's like if someone was like, I want to make this as miserable as possible, but without anyone knowing that I'm trying to make them miserable. Like I want it to be a secret that that's what I'm doing, but that is what I'm doing. So anyway, like, it's not that I don't see it or whatever. It's more that I'm just like, yeah, I mean, unless you've got something new to say about it, I just don't really care. You know what I mean? And I guess like the boob window thing for me is like, I get it. I just don't care. Like it's not something that makes me feel anything. I don't feel anything anymore. You know, I don't really have human emotions these days. So like saying that Power Girl's boob window doesn't make me feel anything isn't like a big revelation or anything. It's just like another thing on the list of things that maybe make somebody feel something, but not me. But anyway, yeah, I just, anyway, one of the first Photoshop endeavors I ever did was I took Superman, a Jim Lee drawn Superman, and basically took his costume and just made it all flesh colored. And it's like, you can see from the shading and stuff that he does and like how tight and how muscular, how much it shows off his body. You're like, look, this is a skin tight suit. It is basically a drawing of a nude man, just of a different color. Right. And I'm like, I don't know. How different is that than a boob window? I don't know that it's that different. I don't know. Also, just who cares? Maybe I should, if I had to come up with a defense of Power Girl's boob window, I'd be like, what would I say? Hey, look, she's a busty lady who I think is an alien. Maybe in her culture, that's normal. Maybe in her culture, boobs all the way out is normal. And being here, she found like, that's not going to work. So she was like, well, what's halfway in between, you know? How much can I cover up and I can stand it, you know, and I don't feel like I'm being untrue to myself. So maybe we should all be sympathetic to Power Girl and, you know, the pervos who drew her initially, who made that costume. The real big deal about this for me personally of Mad About DC is that it's like a return of Mad Magazine. Mad Magazine, for those of you who don't know, was published since like, I don't know, the 50s or the 60s or something. Let me see if I can find out. I have like a... Just open the link. Open the link, you piece of shit. There we go. Everybody likes to change how everything works. You know what I mean? They're just like, what if you clicked on this and the did that. Well, the first issue came out October through November of a year. That I can tell you. When was first issue Mad Magazine? 1952. Okay. Aren't you glad I did all that just to tell you 1952? And a fact that you'll forget immediately. Maybe you'll go to a bar trivia and it'll be a question. So it published starting in 1952, and then I think it kind of ran its course and ended like in 2019 or something like that. Which is, I mean, that's a crazy run, right? I'm trying to see if there was a break in there, but I don't think there was a break between 1952 and 2019. That's pretty amazing. But it did go away, and it made me sad because I felt like trying to write something that appeared in Mad Magazine would be a good goal for me. You know what I mean? Like, that would be something that I was like, that would be a feather in my cap that I would really appreciate, that I don't know if anyone else would. Because, like, when I was a kid, Mad Magazine was the shit, right? Like, I read so much Mad Magazine. I was so into it. Even though I decided to look back and just see, like, what was on the covers. Like, what were they talking about in Mad Magazine when I was reading it, right? And so I was looking, and these are from when I was, like, probably 9 years old. And there's like one with Alfred E. Newman as basically Axl Rose. There's the Addams Family and Home Improvement are the subjects of the next one from June of that year, which, okay, those are things that I probably like knew about, right? Then we skip to like October 1992. And apparently there was a parody of the movie Basic Instinct, which is definitely not a movie that I saw. Right? Like, of course I haven't seen fucking Basic Instinct. I did not see a Sharon Stone beaver shot when I was like 9 years old. That would make no sense. In 1994, they were parodying Seinfeld, X-Men, Mrs. Doubtfire, which are, you know, okay, those are all things I was probably familiar with. But then there was, the cover is of, if you remember Howard Stern's book, Private Parts, and it's kind of him sort of naked with the title covering up his schwang. They redid the cover of that, and it's Rush Limbaugh, Private Parts. So, you know, he's like a fat guy and he's naked, and that's funny. But like, okay, that's a joke that, like, I don't know that I ever heard Rush Limbaugh on the radio, and I don't think I did, but I don't. You know, if they're parodying Rush Limbaugh, that's probably not going to do a lot for me. I mean, now I would find it funnier, especially if they were talking about his series of children's books, Rush Revere, in which I believe Rush Limbaugh is sort of inserted as a character who I think is like a history teacher with a time machine. And he takes kids back to, you know, the Revolutionary War and stuff to show them that America is wonderful. I mean, it's a hilarious idea. And I remember I really looked into Rush Revere because this was a thing that came up a couple years ago in the library world. I can't remember who was writing about it, but basically it was a conservative person saying that like library collections were really woke. And one of the examples they put was like, they don't even have the Rush Revere books or something. And at this point, the Rush Revere books were like 15 years old. And I was like, I mean, Rush Limbaugh had been dead for like 10 years, was never a children's entertainer or personality that kids would have any interest in or knowledge of. And like, they sucked. Like, no one really liked Rush Revere. I have found, because I have explored many times like conservative leaning stuff, especially children's books. And it's like, they're just not very good. You know what I mean? Like, they're just boring or like dumb. And it's like, it seems like what they're relying on for sales is just basically conservative parents will buy this for their kids so that they're not buying like some woke ass book. And I'm like, I mean, you could just buy Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't think there's a political message in there. I suppose there could be. But if there is, I don't know it. There's the special economic recovery issue in which Alfred E. Newman is in a cardboard box and he's got a cross-stitched thing that says homeless, sweet homeless. It's at times you could certainly accuse Mad Magazine of being cruel or, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know, is that something we wouldn't say or do today? But it's like, I don't think they're mocking homeless people. I think they're mocking the economy or whatever. There's, okay, here's Mad Love Connection. Alfred E. Newman is on the game show Love Connection, and the three women that he could date are Lorena Bobbitt, who I believe was famous for cutting off her husband's penis, Tanya Harding, and Amy Fisher. I don't really remember what Amy Fisher did. Let's see. Amy Fisher. She shot and severely wounded Mary Jo Buttafuoco, the wife of Joey Buttafuoco. Well, all right. That's not so bad. Oh, because he did things with her when she was underage. You know, I don't know. Amy Fisher seems like maybe the victim here. But okay, Lorena Bobbitt, least love connection for me. Tanya Harding, I find fascinating in that it's like, how do we live in a world where she's had more of a career after paying someone to assault her competition than the person who got assaulted? You know what I mean? That's like the unfairness of the world we live in, is it's like there's, I believe, more than one movie about Tanya Harding. Tanya Harding was played by that Margot Robbie, right? Like America's sweetheart. And just like, I get it on the level of like, well, that's an interesting story. And I don't know if Nancy Kerrigan's story isn't it. Listen to me talking about, that's a thing in my brain, right? I keep thinking like, as I age, crossword puzzles are going to get easier and easier. Because if there's like the person who was assaulted by Tanya Harding, and you'll be like, oh, Kerrigan, I know who that is. I know how to spell it. And I'm like, it'll be sort of ironic because like, as I'm older and I would have more time to spend on a crossword, they should get easier, right? Because like people from my generation will be writing them. So it won't be like old timey bullshit that it's like the Buster Keaton film in which whatever. And you're like, oh, fuck off with that. Here's one called The Clintstones. It's like a crossover of the Flintstones and the Clintons with Al Gore and so on. I don't know how that works, but I'm intrigued. I am intrigued. Oh boy. In November of 1995, they tackle gangsta rap. Yikes. Wonder how that goes. In also 1995, they talk about Frankenstein, which I believe is the version with like Robert De Niro in it, or maybe the Kenneth Branagh version. I'm not sure. In the movie Quiz Show, and the Republican Contract, parentheses, it sucks. In the middle of all those is hockey, which, okay, and comic book fans, which I'm like, okay, that I would know. The next one has Interview with a Vampire, with The Vampire, The X-Files, and Pulp Fiction. Here's what I'm getting at. Like, I was 12, 11 or 12 when I was, like, reading these. What was I getting out of this? You know what I mean? 1996, I remember we had this one. It has Alfred E. Newman snowboarding. And one of the things on the front is militia crackpots, stupid as hell. And I'm like, all right. Like, what would I have known about militias when I was 12? I mean, that's a crazy, crazy idea. You know what I mean? I've been wondering as I look back at these, what was I getting out of this at that age? You know what I mean? Who is the intended audience for Mad Magazine? Like, it kind of seems like it was kids, but that's my memory, right? My memory of it was like kind of part of the whole feeling of like Nickelodeon and like adults are dumb and like don't listen to kids and like kids have our own stuff now. But as I'm looking at this, I'm like, this seems like it's for like 25-year-olds. You know what I mean? Who like know things about stuff. Yeah, it's just fascinating. I went down an internet rabbit hole and started looking at like knockoffs of Mad Magazine. Because of course, the most famous from when I was a kid was Cracked, right? That was a pretty well-known one. You could find it on newsstands and stuff. But I found several others that I thought were weird, like Panic or Plop. A lot of these seemed very sexual, by the way. Like, you know, they had a lot of like nudity in the on the covers or like inside or whatever. But my favorite was probably Wild Magazine number one. It was called Wild, and it says, "This magazine is wild." On the cover is a whole group of people. There's like a biker and sort of a flower child and a surfer dude and like a beauty queen and just an artist looking guy and a guitar player. And they're all running in a big cloud of smoke. You know what I mean? Towards a guy who I guess is from the 20s or something, who's waving a flag that says 23 Skidoo. And they seem to be coming towards this guy in a menacing way, but he's blissfully unaware they're there. And the cover just says, "The hippies are coming." I just thought this was so fucking funny because I was like, what the fuck is 23 Skidoo? You know what I mean? And like, who are we? Okay, 23 Skidoo. Early 20th century American slang phrase meaning to make a quick exit, clear out, or beat it. So like, I'm going to 23 Skidoo. The exact phrase is widely debated, but here are some of the theories. One prevalent story suggests that the winds whipping around the corner of New York's Flatiron Building would cause a woman's skirt to fly up. Police officers would allegedly tell crowds of male loiterers to skidoo or move along. In A Tale of Two Cities, the character Sidney Carton is the 23rd person to be executed by the guillotine, leading some to link the number 23 to death or leaving. Skedaddle. The word skidoo is thought to be a playful evolution of skedaddle. Well, I know skedaddle. But why 23? What's the 23 part? I want to know. Being leaving quickly. I want to, how does it get used? Like, I don't understand. Okay, well, I guess we'll do the old 23 Skidoo and end the episode. We'll end it there with our little brief foray into Mad Magazine and just a couple of the knockoffs. I hope you had an enjoyable time listening to me. I never know how to end these, so should that just be the sign-off now, 23 Skidoo? If I hadn't looked it up, I'm so stupid. I was like, if I hadn't looked it up, I could have just done it, you know, and then just been like, 23 Skidoo. But if I hadn't looked it up, I wouldn't know that that's what it means. What the fuck? All right, we'll see you next time. Like, where the ball-